And in the same way, although of course with distinction, but we sing that hymn sometimes, in the person of the Son we are as near as He. And so with distinction, we don't take on all these truths about Christ as if they apply equally to us. He's ahead of us. He's beyond us. We don't come up to His measure and try to claim things for ourselves that are His. But God loves to do this, where He says, I'm making you into what I have seen and declared to be so in Christ. Be ye holy, for I am holy. We are made the righteousness of Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so when we think about this idea of God's choice, it's first He has chosen Christ Himself. And then we say, we hear God say, so to speak, you are mine. I have selected you out of the brook. Why? Sovereign choice. So we can spend a little time considering this. What does it mean? Here's the question maybe we could build on. What does that do for these believers? What does that do for us as believers today to think that we are God's chosen generation? We are God's people in this world to do His work, to carry out the same, to bear the image of Christ, and it's with God's choice, you might say, behind us. The fact of God's choosing us, supporting us, encouraging us as we desire to carry out that responsibility. So that introduction, and maybe we can go on from there. What are some related scriptures or truths, things that would come out because God has chosen us? How should that establish us? How should that encourage us? How should that propel us into the work that God has for us?
Yes. Starting right off at the base, when we realize that it was God who was the source and God of our salvation, it was Him who did the work, who wrought the work through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we realize it was Him and all Him and His choice, then that strips us from all entitlement or all self, anything that we could ever claim that we did or, you know, to gain anything, or especially in relating to our salvation, we can't say that at all. It was completely God. And then that should bring upon a response of humility, mm-hmm. falling before God on our faces, realizing that it was fully by His grace, not of ourselves. And then it brings you back to the verse in Romans 5, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We see that our salvation was not anything of our own works, because God didn't wait for us to clean up. He chose us. He plucked us out, right?
There's a scripture in Ephesians I think we know pretty well. Ephesians chapter 1, it says, and I read verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, and so on. And as you were saying, to be honest with you, when you sit and think about the fact that God has chosen us, all it can really, but not all, but one thing it should do to us is really humble us. And when you think of all the millions of people out there, and to think that God has chosen us, it should humble us to be as faithful to Him as we can.
I was just thinking of your illustration, and when we think of what God has done for us, the fact that He's chosen us before the foundation of the world, and Peter says by the foreknowledge of God, Ephesians says by the before the foundation of the world, before the world ever was, God had you in mind. I mean, that's just outstanding, and that has to do with the sovereignty of God. And then when we think of this word called, and Peter uses it 7 times, 5 in 1 Peter, 2 in 2 Peter, and when we think of this word being called, that has to do with time. Mm-hmm. That's where we live now. And so right now, in your generation, He's called you. So you were in his mind in the past, before the world ever was, but now in time, as soon as you came into this scene, he has something for you to do. Mm-hmm. And thinking of that illustration, going to get back to the stones, I was thinking too, a very important aspect of those stones is that they were smooth. Mm-hmm. He didn't just pick up any old stone. He picked up stones that had been prepared. And this brings in the atmosphere of 1 Peter, because in 1 Peter, he's talking about sufferings. He's talking about trials. He's talking about difficulties that we pass through. And a lot of times when we pass through the difficulties of life, we think, poor me. At least I do. And yet, we ought to look at it as this is part of God's training ground for me, because he has something for me to do that he has called me to, and now he's preparing me for that specific work. And this difficulty, whatever it might be, whatever the cause might be, is part of him rubbing off the rough edges. Those stones were smooth because the waters knocked the rough edges off of them, preparing them for David. And then David put them, and here's another aspect of this, if I could just build up on this analogy, David put them in his pouch, which, two things. Typically speaking, the pouch hung over, and it hung toward the hip. You think about that, the hip is a place of strength. The strength is not ours, the strength is God's. We must depend on him. The second thing is, he put it in that pouch. He put the stone in the pouch. If we are the stone, we've been placed in the pouch in a dark place. And God wants us to be alone with him. If we're going to be called out and do the work that he sent us to do, then we have to be alone with God. So I just thought of that analogy that Steve brought us to, but also to underline, the choosing has to do with God's sovereignty. It's before time ever was. The calling has to do in time.
Can we discuss maybe the our response and responsibility to the calling?
Where would you start in order to do that?
I'm asking you.
I'd open it up.
So what are some other scriptures then that I think that's very helpful? What are some other scriptures that mention that we have a calling? And where can we get some help for that question? Very good.
How does Romans 8... let's say 28 to 30 fit in, if somebody wants to read that. Romans 8, 28 to 30. And how does that fit in with the question that's been asked?
Romans 8, 28 through 30?
Yeah.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate them, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
So I know there were two parts. One was read the verses, and then you were also saying, how does that fit in, right?
Yeah.
So I think that part still is open. So you heard the verses. So how does that fit in?
Well, one of the things it truly highlights is the work of God. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have to work on, and we all have to work on is really understanding that this whole thing that we've been brought into is all of God.
Amen.
It's all of His work. And so when we read these verses in 8, it gives us tremendous comfort, tremendous assurance, tremendous confidence, because there's nothing relying on ourselves. It's all of what He has done. So how can I look at circumstances? How can I look at situations, you know, adverse or even advantageous? They're all by His sovereign allowance. And so it gives the believer a particular confidence and an assurance, because we are not relying on ourselves. We're relying on one whose grace is so manifested to draw us in, to give us such privilege.
I think another reference, you were also speaking, Joe, about the response to this truth of the calling. And we can see in Romans 8 that the calling is one part of a process that has an end in view. And God knows from the beginning what that end is going to be. He doesn't start out and say, oh, what was the next step going to be? I have to figure out what the next step, you know, you're making a model ship and you say, well, where's the next part? I don't know what to do next. God has the process already laid out. He knows precisely what the beginning is before we even knew, and He knows what the end is going to be, and He knows how to bring us along, because it's in the context of He's going to conform us to the image of His Son. That is going to happen, and yet still at the same time, it's happening. It's His desire now to do that for us. I was thinking also in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, in the prayer of the Apostle Paul, in verse 18 in the middle, it says that you may know what is the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling. And this expression indicates that the calling is something that it already happened, but there is a hope connected with it, which means there is a future aspects to it. There's a goal of that calling, the hope of His calling. And if we know the hope of His calling, turn to chapter 4, if we know the hope of His calling, that is to say, if we have sort of the upward look, knowing that we are called by God, then Ephesians chapter 4 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, verse 1, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, the vocation with which you were called, it might say in your translation. It's the fact that there is an appropriate response to it. And the very first explanation of how to walk worthy has to do with what we are, how we are like Christ just in private, what our character is like. Lowliness, verse 2, gentleness, long-suffering, forbearance, unity, peace. And then there's service in the verses that follow. So when we are going to walk worthy of the calling, it says in Hebrews, I think it's chapter beginning of chapter 3, we are the partakers of the heavenly calling. So it's not only that we're called, but the call came from somewhere. And it's making us look up to see where it's coming from, that the call came from. It's like if you get a letter and it's an invitation to the party, you want to find out, well, where's the return address? Where is this party going to be? And you find out that this is a heavenly calling. You got this invitation. You got this call. And there's dignity associated with being invited, with being called by God. But then you realize that that call came from upwards. It came from God. It is the hope of His calling. It is the heavenly calling. And so when we walk worthy of it, we're living like Christ. We're having His characteristics. We're interested in His interests by serving, employing the gifts that He's given, seeking the growth of the body of Christ. And I think that's also part of this answer, the response to the calling. I think there's another comment coming, which is great.
So one thing I was going to say with Romans 8:28, they do talk about, you know, all things. I have a different translation here, so forgive me. But And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him, love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So, you know, it's his purpose. You have to understand that, like, you know, that as long as you're in line with what he wants, he's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. And then that's kind of followed up by Matthew 6:27, which says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So, you know, that type of that idea where it's like, you know, as long as you keep the focus on God, you know, all those little things and all that stuff that can be roadblocks, he'll take care of those for you. You know, as long as you're doing his thing, you know, as long as you're working for him. So I guess that one way to look at it.
I have a picture here of that calling. I think of Acts chapter 9, where Paul, where the Lord called Paul. And just a verse, we know the story where Paul was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord spoke to him. But in verse 15, this is what... But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." And I was thinking what we said earlier was that some of our prior experiences, God works things out in our lives. God had a plan for the Apostle Paul and his upbringing. He didn't know it at the time, but all of his earlier experiences, God used to make him the person that he became. So some of us, you know, you look back at your life and you might have had a rough beginning or whatever, and you look back at it and God, you can look back now and see that God was using that to form and create the person that you have become in Christ. And that's something that, to be honest with you, we should just bow before God and says, you can just look back at that in your life. You can't see it when you're going through it. But when you are old and you look back and see God was doing a work and he was preserving and preparing. The Apostle Paul was prepared to do the job that he did. And his unique upbringing prepared him to do that job.
So I think the key to that... I was just going to touch the... I want to go back to your comment and tie it in with his comment, because I think the key to that with the Apostle Paul is that there was a point in his life, even though that God had done all this prior that he knew nothing of, there was a point in his life where he had to surrender. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Now, go back to the verse that Steve mentioned. He says, "I therefore a prisoner of the Lord." And actually, it should read, "A prisoner in the Lord." And that comes back to what we've been saying all week about our position in Christ. But Paul looked at it that he wasn't just a prisoner of Rome, but he was a prisoner in the Lord. That, in other words, and here's the key for us, if we're going to live out the calling in which we've been called, we have to come to the point where I have no rights. A prisoner has no rights. Paul says, "I'm a prisoner in the Lord." Not of the Lord, but in the Lord. And that's even more severe than of the Lord. Because he says, my position is in the Lord. My life is hidden in Christ. My position as a servant is, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Another place he says, I'm a servant, a bondservant, a slave of the Lord. In the Lord. So this to me is the prerequisite if, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name.
Tim.
Oh, well, that's an easy one. That's a great name, by the way. But as Tim was saying to us, that there's a prerequisite, and the prerequisite is, have I really surrendered? Mm-hmm. Have I said, "Lord, I just want to submit. I just want to submit. I want to submit to the calling." And Steve pointed out that it was a heavenly calling. Another place he calls it a high calling. Think of that, high calling. I mean, we've been brought up high. It's tremendous.